Hi. I am LaVon Philhaber. I am quite new to this kind of audience. I'm quite new to any audience, but I thought because I'm quite new, I'd like to introduce myself. And some of you may have heard some of this because I've mentioned this in prior weeks. So I decided, you know, the main reason we do the radio is to let people know what we do. So what I am going to do is tell you how I got to what I am doing now, because what I'm doing is quite new, 6 years new for me, but I'm really excited about it all. So I thought I'd do a little mini biography today. Okay, now just in case you want to call in to ask questions, make comments, I'm going to give out the number. For the U.S. is 877-876-5227, and for Canada and the USA is 888-815-9756, and if you want to call direct, 530-876-3222. Again, my name is LaVon Philhaber. I work with two wonderful ladies, Charisse and her mother Angela, and we work with the Temple of Knowing Spirit. I am basically the mentor for the school part. We have an excellent modules for those that want to heal themselves, because the only permanent healing is self-healing, and they're excellent. Okay. Now, what I do personally on my own is I live up here in way northwest corner of Minnesota. I'm almost in Canada, North Dakota. Beautiful weather for this time of year, but I like cold, so if it wouldn't be kind of cold, I wouldn't be real happy. Okay, so what do I do? Well, one thing I do is massage, deep muscle massage, and really I do massage mostly to cover up my other gifts. Because I am in a corner where people don't really quite comprehend or accept the esoteric theology. I'm not saying there's none here, because I am being led to many people that are at least biting into it. So I'm happy to see that. Okay, and what do I kind of cover up when I do my massage and I don't tell everyone is one thing. I am a Reiki. I do Reiki, but I am also a Reiki master. And the difference between just doing Reiki and Reiki master, I'm sure many of you know, is a Reiki master can attune others to do Reiki. And I also do a thing called ear candling. Now, that is a old, old remedy coming back. And for those that do not really know what ear candling is, there's a special candle made where that one end is, you put it into the ear, and the other end, kind of like a small tornado, but it's long and thin. And then I start the one end on fire. And what's so neat is that it dries up sinuses, but it also softens old buildup so the body can naturally release it. But what's really neat is I get to lay my hands on these people. And it's kind of cute because whenever I do massage or ear candling, people get up and they're feeling kind of like they're flying. And they've told me I'm the best massage they've ever had, not realizing that they really got a Reiki treatment. So what I really am, I guess, I am a healer, which I can speak this way to use. But I know if I would tell certain individuals, because well, you'll see when I get into my story a little more, why I would not dare speak this way to my past life with my friends, etc., my Christian movement. And I know there's a lot of Christians that are very open to this, and they have very much into their, this into their mindset. So, but anyways, I have, when I first found out that I am who I am, and I'm learning more and more that who I am more. But when I first found out that I am a healer, there was many intuitive people that said that I was created to heal. And the more I learn, the more I meditate, the more I just do as I do. I'm seeing things, I remember things, even not from this life, but past lives. And I do see things that people are telling me, which I need to hear, because this is a very new concept for me. Like I said, I've only been in this for about 6 years. In fact, I've been told that I'm an ancient soul, not just an old soul. So I guess I've had billions of lifetimes, some people have said. Well, anyways, again, when I was sitting talking to a fantastic intuitive couple, maybe 5.5 years ago, they told me that my hands are very powerful when it comes to healing, but the most powerful part of me is my voice. And the more I get into the things that have been opening up for me, I realize there is truth to that. Okay, another thing that I do is called trauma erase. Now, pain, illnesses, as a rule, stem from emotion or a thought. So what my main goal is to help people to realize what the thought, what the emotion is that we need to erase. So in person I can do this, but I also can do it on the phone. In fact, I found out that it's even more powerful on the phone than in person. And what I do in person is I touch certain pressure points. My client touches certain pressure points. I use a muscle testing. And we let the soul tell us what needs to be erased. Okay, and of course, with this trauma erase, which it depends on if I do it in person or on the phone, it involves other gifts that I use. I can read past lives. I can straighten out chakras. I can see their auras. I'm getting pretty good at interpreting dreams. So I think it's pretty neat how there's such wonderful gifts that we can help people to heal. Well, I realize now, too, that I've always had these gifts, but of course, because I was in a movement where a lot of this stuff was not of God, at least that's what we were taught, and I used to teach it myself, which now I realize it was just the time. At that time, I was not supposed to deal with these kind of issues, but now I can. And I also am a very powerful prayer warrior. When I pray, my prayers are answered because of who I am. And again, when we come to these lifetimes, we have many, many, many gifts, but we only bring what we need for this particular lifetime. And I'm also a teacher. I run a module class, and in these modules, we teach people how to heal themselves. Like I mentioned just a little bit ago, the only permanent healing is self-healing. And most people, I talk on the phone. I do have a individual that I actually read the lessons to, and I have had another one where I've taped it. But I love it because then when I read it, there's things I see at that moment that I need to use to heal myself. Okay, so mostly we create our world with our thoughts and our words, and that's our main healing in this particular healing modules. Okay, also, I am very blessed. I'm very much into the natural healing of using herbs and other natural products, but I had to go through quite a bit to get to that because I was quite ill with allergies. I don't know if any of you have had allergies, but that is pretty hard on a person. And because of it, I changed my eating habits. I started drinking more water. I started using herbs and all these other natural things. But doing this, I am selling a lot of products. And I feel the best way to sell is if you really know it's a good product. And, of course, the way I do that is I used it myself. And, again, I have come here to help heal or just to heal. And these are different ways to heal. For example, I thought I'd share with you some of my products that I have and that I sell and all the products I use. Okay. Now, the number one product that I really really think is fantastic is called Sea Aloe. It used to be called Sea Silver, and a new company took over, so they changed the name. And it's a fantastic liquid multiple vitamin. Now, I'm just going to share with you how I feel that this is. I mean, many people, they see that I sell things. I'm a massage therapist, so they try me to get me into their specific vitamin. But Sea Aloe is taken from a seaweed, and it's taken from the ocean water that's like in Greenland and Canada. It's the purest part of the oceans. Well, anyways, they take it from a seaweed, and the seaweed, of course, is saturated in the ocean. And I used to put people on a colon cleanse, and I still guide people if they want me to, and we use seawater to help them flush out their colon. So because of it, I learned some pretty interesting facts about seawater. Now, seawater is the next closest thing to our blood. Sea captains or sea doctors are, you know, out in the ocean and something happens and they have no blood transfusion to get. They do seawater to transfuse into their blood because it's the next thing to our blood. Just a kind of a cute little illustration that was taught me years ago. If we could have 100 elements that includes vitamins, minerals, etc., we would never die from a natural cause. Now, seawater, ocean water, has 97. So there's elements in the ocean water that we cannot get but from the ocean water. Now, the next best that we can get on land is 40 elements on a piece of land. And, of course, you know, who has that piece of land? So the sea aloe is fantastic. It is a very wonderful multiple vitamin. And I feel liquid is always the best because then it goes right into the bloodstream right away. And then I sell detox foot patches. I'm sure many of you have heard of them where you put the patch on the bottom of the foot when you go to bed. You put it on, it's white. When you wake up, it's another color because it's pulling out toxins. And what's unique about my special patches is that they have a special, elements in it for certain things, like one is for the liver. So you put that on the bottom of your feet, and you look at a reflexology chart, and you put that patch on a spot that pertains to a spot that you're having issues with. When I put my milk thistle liver detox on the bottom of my foot the first night, I woke up during the night and I felt this tug in my liver, by my liver. And I thought, uh-oh, what's going on with my liver? And then I remembered that I put that foot patches on. So, but I'm one of those, I feel things. You know, I feel I've been blessed because, you know, maybe I've hurt more than some too, but at least I know what's going on. Then I sell essential oils. Now, essential oils are excellent. I'm sure you've all heard of essential oils, and they're another way of healing. Then I have all of Dr. Christopher products. I think most people have heard of his products. He was a medic in World War I, and everything he has is organic, and it's natural, and for almost anything you can think of, they have a product. And I think it's pretty reasonable compared to a lot of other products out there. So, again, I also have a product called the Healing Sticks. Its main ingredient is made out of a product called Neem, N-E-E-M, from the Orient. And it looks like lipsticks, you know, like for chapsticks, you know, chap lips. But it has, again, different essential oils and different sticks for different issues. My niece, for example, has she's 13 and her nose was red and raw and all those kind of things. And she put it on three nights in a row, and by the fourth morning it was gone. So it's a very excellent for the skin issues. And, of course, I'm a distributor for the Nikon Magnetic products. And I also have, it's called an EMF Harmonizer. It's for your cell phone. It's supposed to, you know, you've heard stories where cell phones and even cordless phones can cause radiation in the brain. Well, this blocks that. So, like I mentioned before, I'm a Reiki master, so I can attune people, which basically means just get the healing energy flowing. And, of course, there's three levels. The first level is just to be attuned. The second one is to be attuned so you can heal long distance. And then, of course, a master Reiki can attune, and that's what I have become. And I also can do massage certification. And what's unique is that if anyone really wants to get into massage for whatever reason, I can present you a program you can do in person or also learn through videos, and then you come to me and get certified. And it's just a simple way, and it's an excellent, excellent massage. This individual that put it together did massage for many years, at least 30 years. So he put together a package deal that he feels is the best. And many people that I have massaged, it's the one that I do, they said it's the best massage they've ever had, and they've, you know, they've had many others. Okay, and years ago, even when I was a gospel worker, which we'll get into that, I was also counseling. But now that's what I do. More than anything, I am what you call a soul healer and counselor. And again, I do it on the phone, I do it in person, and I found out that on the phone it's even more powerful. So I think that's pretty exciting. Now, 6 years ago or more, I would have never, ever dreamt that I'd be doing what I'm doing now. In fact, I was what you call a Bible-only believer. If you couldn't show me from the Bible, I wouldn't listen to you, because that's where I was at. And I realized I was supposed to be there, even though I believe that I was very comfortable with that because that was what I did in many past lives. But I had to go through that so that I could experience. I went from church to church to church. So now I can talk to almost anyone and speak their language, but also understand where they're coming from. Again, the reason I'm bringing this up is 6 years or more, no way. I mean, you know, to me this was of Satan. And now here that's all I do, even though I'm still a Christian. But, you know, and then I do have some dear friends that think I am lost, but I have to accept that that's just where they're at. In fact, to me, true love is to accept people exactly where they're at. It's called agape love, unconditional love. And, you know, it's not easy all the time. I call it like a slap in the face. At first it kind of, and then afterwards it goes away, and you have to come to your senses and accept people where they're at. What's interesting, when I was a gospel worker, I was very concerned about the medical society and the school system and organized religion and the food that's out there. So I was quite what you call in my own little world. But, you know, I have to admit that time was a happy time, though. I could see the universe really was good to me because it was my desire and what I thought, and there was about 10 years there that we didn't even know what was going on out there. In fact, my daughters and I, we sometimes will see things on the TV and we'll say, when did that happen? And we laugh because obviously it happened when we were out there. And I'll get into that a little bit more. I am writing a book because my life has been quite interesting. But I also want to teach something. I want to show about the prejudice that among spiritual believers. I mean, we're all in our own little world, our own little walk. We need to understand that not one is better than the other. And during that time of 10 years, we did not watch TV. I homeschooled. We had no insurance of no sort, no license of any kind. And you know what? We did very well. I mean, it's amazing. Nothing happened. We did have to use the hospital a couple times because of a broken collarbone and a serious rash one time. And that was basically just used to see what was wrong. Then we got an herb for it. But, you know, nothing cost us hardly anything. It was just amazing. It just shows what you think, what you say, your world becomes. And I, again, my daughters and I, my daughters, by the way, are like 30 and 31, and every once in a while we'll talk, and we kind of miss that, you know, because we were a very happy and peaceful life. But we also didn't believe, even at that time, that people had to believe just like us. So that helped, because I think that's got to be really hard when you get so disappointed in everybody else, you know. It's enough to take care of our own walk. Well, what happened was my daughters and my hubby and I, we actually became missionaries for the United States, but we were on our own. We were not connected with anything, even though we used to be Seventh-day Adventists, and we hung on to some of their beliefs when we left because we thought they weren't living up to what the Bible says. Not that we thought they were lost, but we wanted more than what we saw, at least in the movement we were with. So we had our own little RV, and the main thing that we did, actually the main thing is we'd get called, and it was amazing how we'd pray, and we'd actually get a phone call from a corner, and they'd ask if we'd come and do the work that we did. And I was a door knocker, and I basically presented the messages on weekends, and we used to do it on Sabbath, on Saturday. But I always did ask them in if they felt they wanted to, and they, as a rule, did not want to because they just wasn't their special gift. But I had to be careful. I did not call myself the preacher. I called myself the teacher because I was a woman. Anyone that's out there, I think you're understanding why I did that. Even then, I saw that the true message of Christ was to show us the true character of the divine, of God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. Even though I lived what I thought, but I did not think everybody else had to see it. In fact, I believe the main reason I stayed with that group as long as I did was because they did not believe they were the only group. Even though I run into some of my fellow believers, they do believe that. You know, but when you read the foundation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, it says that they do not believe they're the only ones going to heaven. I know that I've hit thousands of doors, and I loved it. It was fun for me. I sold really excellent books at the doors. I ended up with Bible studies. But I also offered a lot of health messages. We used to call the health message the right arm of the message because if you cared enough to help people because they're hurting or they're ill, they're more apt to listen to you. So I would take them books to their homes, offer Bible studies. I used to have studies they could do on their own, and I used to do personal Bible studies. But I also would help them to what you call a 10-day colon cleanse. And they'd come to wherever I was, we'd have a setup as a rule. And it was really fun because and I'm sure most of you know that a colon cleanse is very healthy for a person. Again, if anyone wants to call in, ask questions, share similar things or anything, the phone number is 877-876-5227. That's the USA. And then the USA and Canada, 888-815-9756. And just to call direct, 530-876-3222. Okay. So when I put those people on a colon cleanse, it was really fun because besides helping them become more healthy, we taught them how to eat better. Of course, if they were interested, we taught them spiritual knowledge, and we helped people mentally to be more healthy. So, because I used to do a program when I was a gospel worker just to show people how to get rid of bitter roots. And that is even a Bible verse. I believe it's in Hebrews. So it was very, very enlightening for me. Okay. Now, just to give you an idea, how did I get to this point was quite devastating, really, because I was born in a very devout Catholic home, and my mother had 11 of us children, and I was the oldest girl, so I changed lots of diapers. In fact, my brother, who was older than I, was 15 when the baby was born. So it was quite different the way I was brought up than what I look at now. In fact, I went through a stage between now and my upbringing that was even quite different than when I was brought up. Okay, even though I was brought up in a very Catholic home, my mother did not preach it. She lived it. So as much as she, for a while, was not happy with my new stands, it was her that taught me that, because I saw that she had the character of Christ. But she never really made a big thing about being Catholic, because she sent me to a Catholic school for 8 years, so I suppose she figured that they taught me the Catholic beliefs, and they did. Okay, and I do believe, and I believe it was from my mother and father's example, that we shouldn't judge, and, you know, we should accept people as they are, which I've brought up before, that it, to me, is true love, agape love, unconditional love. Okay, and of course we should not be attached, like we are told we're in the world but not be of the world. And you know, if you can do those things, you're a lot happier and there's a lot more freedom too. Well, now that I look back, I realize that everything that I went through was to prepare me for what I've really come here to do. Just being raised in a family of 11 children and being the oldest girl taught me how to deal with people, period. Because I was like the second mom. Even still, if we get together with my family and we're having a mother gathering, the children make me sit next to my mother. So, and, you know, that's what many of us are, us ladies. We're goddess healers, you know. We're from the mother love, you know. So, but that's, I had to experience what I experienced, again, to get to what I really have come here to do. And, of course, being brought up in a pretty strict Catholic home, I learned what it's like to be boxed in. You know, so now when I meet people that are really boxed in, you know what boxed in means. You're kind of, you know, restricted in your thoughts and the way you see things. But I was very sheltered because we went to a Catholic school. I only went for 8 years, but the school was strict but still not mean. The boys played in the back. The girls played in the front. And so when I went from the Catholic school to the public high school, my goodness, it took me until my senior year to adjust because it was so different. I felt like I was in a bar, you know, at least the school I went to. But I finally, my senior year, I adjusted, you know, so. But it's good for me to see the difference because the people are living in such different lifestyles. And, of course, my main mission now is just to help people come forth, walk their walk. Okay, so then, of course, because of my mother, who she was, she brought me up very strictly that you don't have relationships until you get married. So I got married at 18, and we're still married 36 years, but because of the way I was raised, it kind of kept me in a pure state, because, you know, there's a lot of choices out there, and if I really feel if I didn't get married so young, I may have not, I may have gotten involved with some things. It would be harder for me to do what I'm supposed to do. Okay, so I suppose you kind of figured it out. I'm 54. I've been told by a few intuitive people that I will be living to about 100, but I will not come back. So I am like, okay, this is my last time here. I'm going to make the best of it. So I'm excited I have another 50 years. In fact, not long ago I thought, oh, I'm learning all this stuff, and I thought it was all wrong. And I thought, oh, no, because I wish I had learned this sooner. Well, here I find out I have almost more time to live and to, you know, experience this newer mindset than I have had so far. So I'm excited about it all. Okay, and it was really quite interesting. Here I was such a Catholic girl, and, and all of a sudden my brother and sister-in-law invited me to a Baptist meeting. and I saw that Jesus was coming again. And I remember actually being a little upset that nobody told me this before, because I never heard that Jesus was coming and you had to be born again and all that kind of stuff. So, and then, of course, when I learned this, I had to go to all of these meetings. I mean, I went something every night. I was doing a post-ring in my home, and I'd listen to the Christian stations, and my husband would come walking in the door, and I'd tell him I was going to go here, I was going to go there. And so sooner or later, he started going with me. And to make a long story short, my husband, of course, being the husband, didn't mind listening to me a little bit, but he needed to see things on his own, you know. And I think us ladies are more that way, too, than we'd like to admit. So I kept praying that somebody would come to the door, or not even to the door, but somebody would meet my husband and share with him. Well, anyways, there was a gal that called me up and was trying to sell me some good Christian books, and we let her in finally because my husband was on strike. And when she came, she never looked at me hardly, just kept looking at him, and she offered Bible studies once a week. And we took them, and she really helped so my husband and I could walk together. Because that's quite important. This journey is tough enough then to have a mate that looks at things not the same. Well, I was in my middle 20s, and so was my husband, when we joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, because who I am, and I had to live what I believe, I could not be wishy-washy. That's just part of my character. And, of course, the more I look into astrology and past lives and why I came here and that I'm an ancient soul, I was the way I was because of my past lives, and wouldn't have been happy unless I was into some spiritual movement. And at that time, I needed people that saw it and lived it. So we were with the Seventh-day Adventist Church for quite a while, but then we left because we just thought we were supposed to be with more people that really lived the Bible, not just spoke it and then lived another life. So we were called Independents, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church called us Offshoots. Well, anyways, when we were Independents, we still lived much of what we lived as a Seventh-day Adventist, but We tried not to be wishy-washy. We tried to do what we thought was the truth. Again, for about 10 years, we did not know what was going on. That's how much we were into what we believed. So while I was doing this, I homeschooled. We didn't, again, have licenses or car insurance, health insurance. The reason why we were that way was we found out from our research that the Jews, they were not licensed. Only the foreigners were licensed. And we saw the side effects from medicine, and they're so quick to want to chop. So we saw the harm in medical shots. So we basically stayed away from all that stuff. In fact, I was so into that when I was in California, because I was in California off and on with our RV missionary work, that I wanted to take the metal out of my, you know, the mercury out of my fillings. And anyways, when I saw that, I used to live in Wisconsin. And the dentist said, yes, I'll take those out, but it would cost me $3,500. And I remember praying to God. I said, hey, if you want me to get this mercury out of my mouth, you need to make it affordable. Otherwise, you're saying it's no problem. Leave it alone. Well, I went to California, and I kept running into people that kept talking about this fantastic dentist right over the border. So I called up because I had 11 fillings. And I'm sure some of you, most of you probably know that mercury in our teeth can do a lot of health problems. So me and my friend went over the border, and I said, don't shoot me up. I said, you're just taking fillings out. And they didn't really seem to like it. But I said, no, no, don't. So because of it, they could take them all also at one time. Otherwise, I'd have to come back another time. And that next week, we were heading back to Minnesota. Well, anyways, while I'm sitting there, and I did tell them, though, hey, if it starts to hurt, I'll let you shoot me up. I'm not unrealistic either. Well, I really saw the divine's hand because they started on one tooth, and they went all the way around, and number 11 had a little infection. So it was a little painful, not bad. But if they would have done that tooth first, I'm sure I would have said, you know, shoot me up. Well, anyways, it just shows me how much the divine didn't want me to put that in my system, because the first tooth, if it would have been the last tooth, I'm sure I would have had the painkiller. And a few people would say to me, how can you endure that? And I said, oh, through prayer. And the last, when they just finished with the 11th tooth, I felt this fatigue leave me that I didn't even know I had fatigue. It was a light fatigue. So it shows you that my body was fighting the mercury constantly. Okay, and we didn't have, like I said, no kind of insurance, no driver's license, no license for anything. It wasn't that we were rebelling. It was just we were going by faith. We believed that God was our insurance and God was our license. And again, the Jews did not license the citizens. They only licensed foreigners. And I wasn't a foreigner. And especially because, you know, I was following God. So I was a true citizen of heaven. And it was so interesting. I mean, like one time my daughter, she was she 13? She broke her collarbone and we had no insurance. So the way I thought, here is Saturday night, I called my chiropractor, and he met me, and it was a good hour for each of us to meet, and he took x-rays and all that stuff, and he said, it's a broken collarbone. I didn't know what was wrong. I know she had something serious, the way she was crying and all that. Well, anyway, so we said to him, well, how much do I owe you? And he says, you know, and he did not know our financial situation. He had, I believe he was connected. He said, LaVon, how about we just, I won't charge you nothing. I have never experienced that before, and I think because of the tenseness of my daughter being hurt, I just started to cry, and it was more because I was so overwhelmed that someone could be that kind. So I said, well, is there anything we can do? Because at the time we were doing, you know, odd jobs, cleaning and stuff. And he said, oh, maybe sometime I'll have you vacuum our floor, you know, but he never did. And what's so unique is that my daughter, he calls up the hospital and says, hey, I got a party here that doesn't have health insurance, and I x-rayed her already. It's a broken collarbone. Can you just set it for me? So we went to the hospital, which was just a little ways from there, and they adjusted her, you know, they put it in a special sling. And then my daughter kept saying, oh, Mom, we ain't got no money. And I said, oh, don't worry, Kendra. That's what Mom and Dads are for. You know, God will take care. Well, we finally did get the bill. And it was $95, and guess what? That's what we had in the bank, was like $96. So it shows that who you lean on, how you believe, what you think, it does happen, because we knew that we were being taken care of. So then all this kind of lifestyle, I mean, I am actually going to write a book, like I said, because so much has happened just with these couple little stories I shared with you, and it was just so fantastic to see that. Well, just at the end, before I went into this mindset, I remember every Friday night for, oh, a few months, I'd go to these people's homes that kept the Sabbath, and we'd pray, and I kept saying, don't you guys want more? I mean, don't you think there's got to be more? And that's why I gathered with these people. I knew they were more, what you call, connected than the average. And then I started going to this gathering 2 hours from here. I'd go like once a month. And it's kind of interesting because these gals, they too are leaning this way now, not maybe as much as I, but they are leaning this way now too, because these are people, you know, you met people that this particular journey, they're a little bit more deeper digging. Well, anyways, I had a dream when I was still going there. Of course, I had a dream in my home, and I saw myself at this gathering with these ladies, and there was one particular gal, and she's she's leaning this way too, so I'm not surprised that she was in that dream. And I looked out this big bay window, and there was Jesus, and he took his hand, and he, like, moved it across, and I saw this open field, and it says, he said, "Levon, now that you worked with the Israelites, go to the Gentiles." And at that time, I'll be honest, and I was eating a piece of pizza, and at that time, I would not eat that, because I, now I look at things a little differently, but I had, I was a very strict vegetarian, you know, no sugar, and I still believe in some of that stuff, but I'm not as strict as I was. But anyways, now I look back, because of what I've done, it meant, now that you've worked with the Israelites, which are people that are, you know, like what I was working with, that are really into the Bible, now you go to the Gentiles. They're different. In the biblical term, those are people that do not believe like the Israelites. They're more into their own beliefs. They're not in that certain mindset, like the Bible, Christianity, etc. Well, not long after that, because of my stand, I didn't have driver's license, I didn't have car insurance. Well, I got pulled over to see the universe. Now I look back, that had to happen to get me where I'm at. I got pulled over, and I was given a ticket, and I was supposed to come to court. Well, of course, I had a dear friend that, you know, was really good at fighting these kind of things. I saw it, but I'm not good at going to court, stand there and say, "Well, Your Honor, this law says this law says that." So the individual helped me a lot. And I went at least 6 times, and it was in the winter, and I had to go like 2 hours on icy roads, but I just kept going. I really believed I was supposed to fight this issue with driver's license and plates, car plates. I had international car plates. Well, anyways, I kept coming with my papers. One time I went there, and there were 5 policemen with their arms crossed in the back. I don't know if they thought I was going to bring my huge group with me. I was sitting there all by myself. And every time I looked, one disappeared. I think they felt a little silly that they had, because if you knew me, I'm only 5'1". And, you know, I'm not a very big person. And I'm not rough and tough. I'm kind of a gentle one. And they saw that. Well, anyways, I kept going like I was supposed to. And all of a sudden, I would come home, and there'd be like an obvious sign in the door. I was supposed to call the police department. And I did one time. I says, "What up? What's up?" "Well, you know, you should come and turn yourself in." And I'm sitting there turning myself in for what? I'm thinking, well, finally, I don't know exactly what happened, but they sent 5 squad cars in my yard and came into my house and handcuffed me and took me away. And my poor husband, he looked at me like, "Oh, no." And anyways, what happened was that because they didn't, I don't know why they did it, but I was framed. And the sheriff was framed with me. And what happened when I was put in jail, I wouldn't give him my Social Security number. I wouldn't give him my fingerprints. And at that time, I wore dresses only. So, and they captured me, if you want to say that, on my Sabbath. Obviously, they knew I'd be home. Well, anyways, I sat in there for 28 days. And while I was in there, I was starting to have a little anxiety. One thing, I was premenopausing. Another thing, my daughters were doing something that wasn't against it, but it wasn't, I didn't feel really that good about it. And just being in jail like that was a little bit. And now, get this. Since I've been there, I have read articles that this jail was the 4th worst jail in the country. So it was. The lights were dim. They had 3 gates to get into your cell because they didn't usually arrest women up here because this is kind of a backwards area. So they couldn't mix me with the men. So I was like almost solitary confinement because they couldn't mix me with the men. And I thought, you know, here this system that I've been fighting, they got to me. So I didn't know if I was going to get out or what, you know. So it was a real test for me. Well, what happened was I was starting to have this form of anxiety. And anyways, the individual that helped me with the legal parts of driver's license and stuff, you know, he turned this way already. And I saw he was changing. But, you know, as a rule, I really did accept people where they were at. So he saw that I was getting kind of uptight, and he said, "You got to stay strong." And I says, "Well, how can I stay strong if I don't feel strong?" you know. So he told me to breathe in, breathe out slowly. And then he said, if you can't keep your mind still, think of something that is positive. So I would think something like, Jesus loves me, or, you know, I am strong. And within 10, 20 minutes, I'd be okay. It's just like, whoa, what happened? I became peaceful again. So if I, and it would come back, and I'd do it, and it would come back, and then I'd do it. So when he came to visit me, I said, what is this that you taught me to do? And he said, it's meditation. And I says, because we were told that was of the devil. So I said, get me a book on that. And then I said to him, I says, okay, if this is not what we've been told, what about this other stuff about past lives and all this stuff? And get me some books on that. So guess what I did? I read, and I was open because I saw something really worked. Well, this was January, and up here in Minnesota, that is a tough month. So it was a good month to sit. And the judge was so upset with me that he told the sheriff not to let me even out. I had to sit. I wasn't supposed to even be out. You know, I can go out and have visitors, and that's it. But anyways, I was picked up on Saturday, and Monday I was asked to come. I was asked to see the sheriff. So I went, and the sheriff had his deputy sitting there and a secretary. And he said, LaVon, you know why you're here? And I says, well, because I don't have driver's license. He goes, no. He says, you've been framed. He says, what happened was the sheriff was fighting some stuff too because our system is getting too many laws. You know, all know that. So because the judge wasn't happy that he would not arrest parents for their kids not going to school, he would not do it. So they weren't happy with him. So they made it so we were both framed because they wanted to get rid of him. So they said that he came to my door and said to me, LaVon, I'm supposed to pick you up, but I'm not going to. Anyways, he asked me when I walked in the door at his office, LaVon, have you ever met me or my deputy? I says, no. He says, secretary, write it down. You see, that's what he was trying to prove. We never met before. So he asked me if I'd be willing to go to court and tell the system that we, you know, defend for him, be a witness. I said, sure, you know. So it was quite interesting because the sheriff was not supposed to let me do anything, but he let me out to do the dishes. I think I washed all the walls in the whole place. I cleaned out the library. And at night, I couldn't sleep properly because I was in the cell all the time. And I read a lot. That's one good thing. I found books in the library and stuff. But so he kept bringing me in and asking me if there was anything he could do to make me more comfortable because he knew I shouldn't be there. And he felt bad. He'd come up there almost every lunchtime and talk to me and stuff because he was trying to make it easier for me. So I told him how I wasn't sleeping at night. So he said, well, why don't you just let me be in the TV room until I get tired and then I'll go back. And he says, let's do better than that. He says, once the guys are all put in their cells, you can have the TV room all night. So that did really help. So even though it was tough, the universe still was making it as easy as I could handle. But see, I feel I was put there so I could see what I wasn't seeing. I had to be set still, like a 28-day sit still thing, so that I could be reached with truth. The truth for me, anyways. Well, anyways, I learned that there were some other things besides that. I learned that in a past life, maybe, oh, many, many lifetimes back, I was this little healer in Brazil. My hands were all crippled up with arthritis. And I was such a powerful prayer healer, warrior. People from all over the area would come to me for healing through my prayers. And I was blessed. Well, the system did not like the fact that I was getting all this attention and getting what they wanted. So they framed me then. And I was literally thrown in a hole in the ground. You know, our prisons and jails are nothing compared to what they used to be. And for 8 years, I laid there, and I finally died. But 28 days of that time, I did not believe that God was with me. So I had to go through 28 days of believing that God was with me, and I never once doubted that he was with me during that time in my jail sentence here in Minnesota. So every reason is a reason. I felt like a Joseph, you know, in the Bible. You know how Joseph was thrown in jail? And like I said, it got so the jail people were glad to see that I was there because I would do dishes, I'd cook, I'd wash the walls. One time they were all sick with the flu and this lady was running ragged, and I said to her, you know, why don't you let me clean that cell for you? And she goes, you don't mind? I says, of course not. I mean, I had a lot of time to read, but, you know, you got to get up and do something besides, you know, just sitting. So, again, the only reason I'm sharing all this with you is there's nothing more than to share. That's my goal, to write the book, is to try to open up people's eyes to everything. All good comes to those that love the Lord and do according to its purpose, Romans 5:28. But also people in this mindset, you know, there's really no difference. We're all walking our special journey. So it was a very, very interesting, I'll be honest, when I was sitting in there those 28 days, I was glad to get out. But you know, when I got out, I walked out wearing pants. I saw things so differently. And I just couldn't get enough. I still can't get enough. I'm always still like, if I hear something, I want to check it out. I'm in fact, on the internet, I'm called 77guided77@wictel.com. If anybody would like to write me, ask me questions, or just share something, email me again, 77guide77@wictel.com. And my phone number is 218-425-3983. And I'm more than willing to do healing on the phone. And or just if you just want to call and talk to me, and you know, just free, talk to me, you know. Because I'm excited about my new mindset. I'm excited about what the universe has been doing with me. And I know I'm really excited about what's going to happen in my future. I have no doubt, because my past has been so exciting, and I know my future is going to be really exciting. So, again, I am LaVon Philharber from Northwest Minnesota. I work with the Temple of Knowing Spirit. That's with Angela and Cerise. And I have been blessed today to be the presenter of my testimony. And I think it's exciting to be able to share with people. I'm sure a lot of you, some of the things I've shared, you can say amen. And then some of you would like to share, and we'd all go, whoa, because this universe is a very, very wonderful, exciting place to be. So I guess that's about it. Oh, I have a lot more to share. I'm writing a book. And mostly to share, to show people that there is, I believe myself, all religions, doesn't matter what it is, even if it's not a religion, their basic foundation is to accept people, that's true love, unconditional love, do unto others what you want others to do to you, do not judge, you can observe, but do not judge, and not to be attached, in other words, be in the world, but not of the world. But it's a lot. It's not strict. It's just know what matters, and everybody has their own truth. So, and I do have two daughters, and they think the same as I, which I'm very blessed. My husband does too. He just, you know, he's here to ground me, to keep me from being too wacky. You know how we can get if we don't have some grounding. And he's agreed to come here to help me financially. So, which was important so I could do my healing, my teaching, my witnessing, you know, so I don't have to. It takes a lot of energy to do healing, teaching, sharing. So he's made my life a lot easier. Even though some people think we got married too young. So again, 218-425-3983, 77guided77@wictel.com. So feel free to email me especially, because I'd like to hear from others. I love hearing testimony. To me, that is the best way to witness. The best witness is a testimony. That's what I believe. And again, we all have our own special walk, our own truth. And we need to learn to respect each other that way. Because what we do will come back onto us, right? So, I'm sure I have said some things that lots of you have heard or experienced yourself. And we also are running a New Dawn School of Enlightenment. New Dawn School of Enlightenment. And if you're interested, just email me. There's many things that we have in that school to offer. You just email me, 77guided77@wickhill.com, 218-425-3983. So, this is an exciting program here. We can talk to the whole world if we want to. Depends on who signs in, but the computer has been I believe it's been set here because we have a lot to do. I don't know if you've heard of the year 2012. I believe it's just a consciousness shift, but we obviously are seeing that there's things causing that. You know, it's like we're getting drawn to that, whatever is supposed to be, but things are happening to make people's eyes open. That's what I think is going on. I'd like to hear what others' opinions are. So, it looks like we don't have much time left here. I thought our time ended, but Don, are you there? Hello.